faithful. We missed our first alarm, so it was kind of like an hour later. And look at this hair. I'm telling you, my priorities are messed up. But it's fine. My kid ate half their banana. It's fine. All right, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. God, we love you that... Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing for us, protecting us, Lord, giving us the ability to get to church, Lord. I thank you that we live in a country that we can gather freely to worship you, uninhibited, unfiltered, to preach the full gospel and not be persecuted, Lord, to not sleep in fear. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you give us the wisdom to preserve. Lord, we ask you as we journey through your word, your scripture, you lead us and guide us into all truth and revelation of your blood covenant, Jesus, the price that you paid and what it bought for us today, and that we would never take it for granted, that we wouldn't receive the grace of God in vain, Lord God, that we would use everything that you gave us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm really excited about a series because I'm going to cut it off early. You know, I can long talk, but there's so much in here that drinking from a fire hose is pretty tough. Anybody try to drink from a fire hose? Anybody ever study the concept of blood covenant? Oh my God, it's like drinking from a fire hose. So let me tell you, I'm going to chop it up in some bite-sized pieces, and I encourage you to dig into this. I remember I had a couple favorite classes when I was in Bible school, and one class was called Blood Covenant, and it was such revelation, and I am having fun with a stack of books and teachings here. So let me think here. All right, so when we hear the term blood covenant, let's be real. What do you normally think of in modern American culture? Anyone? I go back to, ready for this, my mom loves Westerns. Like, she just, it's just my mom. My mom liked reading those little, like, novels, and my pop, like, the black and whites and so forth. Anybody remember the spaghetti Westerns? They were cheesy. They were filled with stereotypes that were definitely not PC at all in modern culture, which is probably why they're not on TV anymore. But my mind goes to those spaghetti Westerns, right? When you had this stereotype of a Native American that took something that was very sacred from his culture and brought what was called a blood covenant, where they became blood brothers. Anyway, like I said, you just have to acknowledge these, you know, stereotypes and where they came from. Anybody ever watch Lassie? Okay, I grew up, once again, my grandparents would babysit me, so I remember watching Lassie at their house. And there was an episode, it was famous, it was called The Tree House. You can find it on YouTube today, of which two little boys got in their tree house, right? And they decided to become blood brothers, because it's very interesting, this concept of blood covenant is echoed throughout our culture. It may not be a revelation to us today, but there's still I'm just going to call it an echo that comes throughout. And so these two little boys decided they had like this airtight friendship, and they were going to be blood brothers. So they pricked their fingers, stuck them together, and buried their most treasured possessions together to create this bond. It's very interesting. I think, let's just be real, I think the significance of blood covenant has been lost in modern culture, especially in America. I'll be real. We kind of, you know, it's just over decades, over hundreds of years, we kind of forget sometimes where we came from. And it's good to find these things out. And as I'm digging into it, I challenge you this. If you dig into this concept, it will transform how you pray. It will transform your, if you actually struggle with faith in God to keep his word, I'll be real. We live in a culture today that has lost the power in the meaning of the honor of our word. Real talk. And it's very interesting if you talk to people from other cultures or other countries where they have not lost that honor, where their word is their word. Do you got me? We will become much stronger people of faith. We'll get a revelation of the word of God. And the fear, will God actually fulfill his word? Will he fulfill that promise? Will fall and break off of you? And so, I'm doing a deep dive, and I'm telling you, we're going back to the very first cut in the Garden of Eden, all the way up to the cross, down into the book of Revelations. And we're going to take our time. We're not going to rush it. So last week, I got to just touch on this just for a little bit. I want to do a quick review because it's significant. So the story of Rahab, remember Rahab the harlot? That's what her name was, and it actually was not an insult. It was God bragging on everything that he redeemed from her life and took her and put her in the bloodline of Jesus, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma. And if you remember in the story, and you can go back in Joshua chapter 2 and so forth and reread it. Joshua, I think it's 2 through 6. And so Rahab, how do I want to say this here? She saw an opportunity, and she's listed in the Heroes Hall of Faith because she is a woman of faith, but faith doesn't just talk, faith does. And the reason why she was listed as a hero is because she didn't just take a little action. She took action and saw the whole thing through. You ever, now let's be real. Like we sometimes, you know, we start, how many people have made a, we talked about New Year's resolutions. You made a resolution. You signed up for something, you know, you got your gym membership, you signed up for, I don't know, a grow group, signed up for book club, you know, and we started to follow through. We ordered the book, you know, or downloaded it nowadays, okay, but we got busy, we got tired, we got distracted, something better came up, and we didn't show up. We started to act, but we didn't follow through. We as a culture are going to look at some other cultures. I'm telling you, I'm going to look at some examples even around the world and way back to the beginning of time of a culture that when your word was your bond, your word was the essence of who you were. And this covenant foundation, this blood covenant foundation, is the reason why you can trust God at his word and not go to sleep worried and tossing and turning like we all do because God made a promise. So, I want to talk about the scarlet cord. It's often, I remember that we talked about this in Bible school. So what happened was this, Rahab, remember this? She saw an opportunity to make a step of faith, to step away from the old alliances, the old pagan, disgusting culture, the life that she was trapped in, how people saw her as unvaluable trash, something to be used, a tool to be used for their own pleasures. And she goes, we heard about your God. And man, your God has a covenant with these people. And it's a covenant bond that he sees through with full protection that every place you go, God protects you, provides for you. Nothing can stand in the presence of your God. And she says, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with you. What? Remember? And when in your covenant, I want you not only to protect me, but to cover my family. Now, I am, like I said, I'm going to do a review because it's really important. And it was at the end of the message. But they said this, as a symbol of that covenant promise, we're going to give you a scarlet cord or tie a scarlet cord across the window, right? And remember, when everyone else was shaking in their boots and the walls were falling and people were dying, her whole family was covered and protected by the covenant bond. So this is an umbrella, right? All right, so this word... she called upon covenantal love, this word hesed. Hesed is a word that's lost in translation. If anyone has a friend that speaks multiple languages, and welcome to America, that's probably all of us at this point, right? It's you need to. Certain words are lost in translation. Most words do not translate into one word. I love the Amplified Bible because it'll take that one word and expand it into five, so things are not lost in translation. So this word hesed, which we're going to dive into later, means covenantal love. It means a covenant, a bond, a promise that covers you, and ready for this, and covers your loved ones, your family. So when you pray for the covering of God to cover you, it doesn't stop the storm. The storm's going on around you. Heck, it's hurricane winds half the time. Welcome to modern day, right? And when you cozy up next to the Lord, you come under his covenantal love, his seed, his covering of love. And when you grab, come on, in families, what? We huddle around that umbrella, right? Normally, my family, dad was the tallest. So, and as the head of the family, he was holding that umbrella, and what? I didn't have to worry. In fact, he'd sacrifice himself to make sure what? The whole family was covered. And so does my husband to this day. So this word, covenantal love, hesed, is going to come into play, and we're going to dig into it a little bit more. But as you pray, remember, when you pray for your family, there is a covenant that was cut in blood, that was an unbreakable bond that God promised he would protect you. And our faith connects us with the promises of God. So sometimes we start in faith, and then we get in fear because, honestly, we've lost the covenant language. Do you hear me? It is good to study the Word of God. I challenge anyone. Actually, Glenn came up to me and had a really good, and I was so tired yesterday, I could barely hear him. I had him repeat it 3 times. And I was like, oh, that's really good. And he showed me something that was lost in translation. And one of the translations that I read, and I was like, you know what's so great? Is when I study for my messages, I will go to, there's a place called BibleHub.com, and it'll pull up that scripture in 10 translations. It's free. And I like normally read at least 5 of them. So I can get a full picture of what things mean. So I challenge you as you're reading through, go do the same. Let's not be lazy Christians, right? All right, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, okay? This is our key scripture that we're gonna like springboard into. Okay, Hebrews 8, 6, New Living Translation. It says, now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, far better covenant with God based on better promises. And as I dig into some stories today of some blood covenant actually is very interesting, goes back into all the ancient cultures all across the world. And that blood is your bond. It is unbreakable. I'm telling you, in some cultures you break that, it is certain death. Ready for this? In some cultures, if you have that covenant bond and someone messes with you, you don't just mess with me. You mess with my whole family, my whole tribe, and it's a to the death fight. That's how deep covenant is supposed to go. And that's how God's covenant is with you. So blood covenant runs deep in this scarlet cord that we are going to tie through scripture, throughout the Old Testament and the New. Come back next week. We're going to go from the Garden of Eden. I mean, all the way. Don't worry. We'll probably just do part of it. It's okay. I'm going to cut it early. I told my husband, see, this is my accountability. All right. I'm going to cut it early. Leave you hungering for some more. Okay. So it weaves. All right. All right. So what is a covenant? So a covenant, by definition, if you look this up, is an agreement or a contract between two people or two groups of people or parties, okay? Another definition says this, it's a contract agreement between God and his people in which the promises are made. So how many people have decided to believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for us? He shed his blood. He was cut, beaten beyond human, he was bleeding everywhere to the point where he didn't even look human. It said it literally, Isaiah chapter 52, the very last scriptures, it says he didn't even look human. He looked like he was hanging up in a butcher shop. It was horrifying. The graphic, gruesome nature that should be branded on our mind. You know, we get this real pretty little, like totally inaccurate picture of Jesus Christ passed down. I mean, I'm telling you, over the last 100 years, he's this blonde hair, blue-eyed, you know, German-looking guy, you know, with these little, just tiny little pretty mark. No, it was nothing like that. I think we've made the gospel so civilized. We scrubbed it. We scrubbed it from the blood. Because, oh, we don't want to talk about that. That might turn people off. In fact, Jesus talked about the blood. He said, what we're going to do today. He actually purposely kind of shook the religion of the day. And he says to his disciples, unless you drink my blood and eat of my flesh, you'll have no part of me. And he was referencing something that was even to their culture, like, whoa, because, you know, the Jews didn't do that, you know. He's making something memorable, something you can't forget. And as we go through these stories, we're not going to just go whitewash it. We are going to look at the blood and what that meant. How many people know we have a lot to learn because much has been forgotten? And here is my challenge to you. And I don't say it on a snow day, by the way, because by the way, for real, you are to be led by your peace. You got me? Be led by your peace. If you don't have peace, don't do something. So this has nothing to do with a snow day. But let's be people of our word. Because even if your father or mother were not people of their word, we have been, what, by the blood of Jesus, adopted into the family of God, where his blood is his bond and his word is eternal and he keeps it. And if we're people of God, we are to, what, keep our word. And if you start the practice, which is anti-Christian culture these days, because we're in a culture that doesn't keep our word. Why? We got a little cell phone. And if I said I was going to your birthday party and we were going to grab coffee or we were going to get together this week, we just shoot you a little text when something better came up. I got a little tired. And we bail. And we wonder why we have a hard time with faith in the word of God, because we don't even put weight in our own word. No guilt, condemnation, or shame to those who are in Christ Jesus. But as a culture, we need to, what? Change our ways. That our word is our bond. My grandfather was a businessman. Back in the day, they just shook hands. Any businessmen in the room here? We don't just shake hands. I want it not just written and typed in an email. I want it in a document from a real lawyer, like one that got a bunch of them degrees. And I want it sealed by the notary and not just any notary, you know? Come on, why? Because bonds, contracts are meant to be broken. We look for loopholes automatically. Isn't that sick? That's not a God thing. It shouldn't be a Christian thing, so let's go higher. And if we as the church start to get a revelation of our word is our bond, we start taking our word seriously, we'll start taking God's word seriously. And then when we speak God's word in faith, Satan will take our word seriously. Follow me. This is why we're stopping early, because I'm telling you, this goes deep and wide. But hey, are we going to work on it? This has nothing to do with snow day. For the people that aren't here, by the way, this isn't talking about that, right? Okay, be clear on that one. All right, let's go back to this. We have two major covenants. We have the old covenant and the new covenant. And so, you know, when you look on your Bible, if you have a paper Bible, I like it. My son has made my Bible two pieces right now. He's going for three. I have taped it so many times that I've just given up on the tape, and I just hold it in chunks right now. It's great. It's my favorite one. Ties me to my mentor, Joanne Garber, that gave it to me in fifth grade. I love it. So if you look on the cover, it'll often say, The Old Testament, the New Testament. So this word testament comes from a Greek word that I'll mispronounce, so we'll skip it. But that word actually better translates to covenant. So if you wanted to put in, please be the person that writes on your Bible, because God's going to try to what? Clarify some things, right? Because we don't, it's all over it. It's probably why Zeke thinks it's more of a, he loves my Bible. Go Bible, Bobby, Bobby, Bible. All right? So testament actually means covenant, all right? And what is a covenant bond? It's an unbreakable contract between two parties. It's an unbreakable contract between God and his people. And back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, covenants were sealed in blood. And it was meant to be graphic. It was meant to be unforgettable. Any people got a scar? Anybody got an ugly scar? I'll tell you what, even the pretty ones, we know where they are. We know the story. We'll never forget it. We know exactly where it came from. I got an ugly one on my knee from creation concerts in the 90s. I don't know. I'll never forget. I had a ton of fun. And my parents were like, listen, we worked really hard to get this camping spot. Anybody been to creation? Anybody remember like the matted hair and not washing for like five? We all smelled the same at the end. We were one body in the body of Christ, okay? And my parents worked really hard for that camping spot. You know, everybody was kind of like slowly inch by inch trying to, you know, spread out their campsites or whatever. And my parents are like, it'll be good. We'll pray over it. It'll be fine. And I have still this gate, just an ugly scar on my knee. We remember our scars. We remember his scars. He does graphic things so we don't forget it. Blood covenant was sealed. The covenant bond, his word, God's word, was sealed in blood from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and is also the way that he kind of wove it throughout the cultures across the world that created a bridge to preach the gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ. Interesting. All right, so let's look at it. Old Testament. I'm just going to use one and we'll dig into it later. Exodus 24, 7 through 8, English Standard Version. Then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Good intentions. Can we keep reading, right? Moses took the blood. Okay, because this is what? The children of Israel, and we are adopted in, and we are the children of God, the Israel. What were they really good at? Saying, yes, amen, that's good. Preaching, I even wrote notes on it. totally going to do that. I'm going to act on that scripture for today. And what do? They get busy. They get rolling. They get in the grind. They keep looking back at Egypt and the grind and the busyness. And we don't like just chilling in the wilderness. And we quick to forget it. So God did this. He did something graphic. He did something kind of gruesome. He did something unforgettable. And he had Moses take the blood of this animal sacrifice and threw it all over the people. You know, I could be really graphic right now, but my mom, who's watching online, I just honor her so much. And she doesn't even like water on the carpet. So I'm not going to throw blood everywhere. But that was what the temple was like. It didn't smell good, but God said it smelled good because it smelled like sacrifice. Smelled like people putting God first. They didn't offer to God anything that was convenient. They offered to God something that cost them. Okay, we'll go into it more. I'm going to bait you for this series because I cut out so much notes here. All right. So Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, ready, the blood of the covenant. The covenant, the promise of God sealed in blood that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. I don't know about you. I'm glad I don't have to do the whole blood thing today. Because, I mean, just a lot of laundry. I'm already doing like 4 loads a day right now. I don't know. It just spit up everywhere. All right. Later, the same scene, the same bloody, unforgettable scene was quoted again in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8. And you can go ahead and read it. It's 18 through 22. The same thing quoted. All right, and Paul felt need by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, this whole bloody scene that we used to have to do, guess what? We got a better covenant. We don't have to do that anymore. But it's just as powerful because it was sealed in the unforgettable, most powerful blood of all times, the blood of the Son of God. The only way that sins can be forgiven is through the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22, this is key. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Why? My son just learned the word why. So he loves his brother so much that he just tries to crush him with all of his love. And I was like, no, I mean heavy, weight, big, too big. I'm trying to find a word that translates to my 2-year-old. Like, bad idea. And he's like, why? Guess what? We're going to go into all the whys. Why blood? Why so gruesome? Why? We're going to go into it. Give me like 4 weeks. Here we go. All right. Here's the main point of it all. God saying, without the shedding of blood, why? We'll go back to Eden. There can be no forgiveness of sins. So only the payment in blood is precious enough to forgive sins. And, you know, they did the animal shedding of blood, which goes back to Eden. And the only thing was it provided temporary relief of all the guilt and shame. How many people wrestle with guilt? The weight of our missteps, our miscommunications, our shortcomings. We aim to do right. The definition of sin is to what? Miss the mark for all the archers out there. I grew up doing this. Terrible shot to this day. Stacy's a very good shot. My sister Joy, very good shot. I'm distracted. Okay. But I aim to do right. I aim to hit the target. Oops, hit something, someone. Oh, welcome to sin. I don't wake up every day trying to be a horrible person. How many people can I hurt today? But I do it because I talk. If I could just talk less, like my husband, I would probably do less damage. We aim to do right, but we mess up, and then we carry the weight, the guilt. We beat ourselves up. And back in the day, they had an annual sacrifice, and you had to go either purchase or drag along your sacrifice to the temple that was inconveniently located, and you had to walk with no air conditioning, or you got a stinky camel, and they spit. All right, and you got to do that once a year so you didn't have to carry the weight of the guilt, of the sins, and all your shame. But it wasn't like a permanent thing. It wasn't enough, but that was the old way because it was all pointing to Jesus. But thank God he gave us a better covenant sealed in the blood of his son. This is the baiting sermon, okay? But why? Why blood? Hebrews 8, verse 6. We're going to say it again. But now Jesus, our high priest, has given us the ministry that is far superior than the old way. But there was a reason, because he built on that foundation. Better than the old priesthood, better than any other culture of blood covenant around the world. For he is the one who mediates for us the better covenant of God based on better promises. Only the precious blood of Jesus, the Son of God, carried enough weight to forgive the sins of humanity, past, present, and future, when we align ourselves with his name. When we make a covenant with Jesus, which he made very easy. Why'd you make it so easy? Because he's a good, good father. And he doesn't want his kids to jump through hoops to earn his love. Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you've never had a revelation of it, write it down. This is what you share. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross, and we speak with our mouth, there's an action step, we will be saved. And that covenant, God's word, no matter how you feel, if you feel guilty, if you feel terrible, if you feel like trash, if people have told you you're trash, if they think you're terrible, you're a jerk, you stink your whole life, guess what? It doesn't matter what their word says, because they don't even take their own word seriously, because if they did, they wouldn't be attacking you with their words. Church, stop shooting each other. You're shooting your own team. If you could only, if we could only, if I could only stop talking long enough to think before I speak. Brad always goes, and what we should have said was nothing. I was like, that's right, okay? The priceless blood of Jesus. And anyone that calls on his name will be saved. And I can trust that I am saved because he gave his word, and his word is his bond, and it was bonded in blood from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and it was sealed in his precious son. I have two precious sons. I can't imagine, if you go to the doctor and they do that little, what is it, the iron test? My heart breaks as a mama just to see their little finger. They prick their foot and they scream like murder, you know? I hate to see them suffering, right? And God took his son that was born unto us, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And he had to watch him for 33 years, his son. And they attacked him with his words. The Jews shot their own team, slandered him, gossiped against him, trashed him. And all he did was heal and set people free. All he did was lay his life down because he was the sacrificial Lamb. And that was his baby, that was his son. And he watched him for 33 years, knowing it was going to culminate in the torture, the worst torture that the Romans could come up with. And it was public, and it was nasty, and it was in front of his birth mom. And God said, it was worth it. Why? Because a covenant, a far better covenant, was sealed in the blood of his son. The only thing pure enough, the only thing innocent enough. Yes, those animals were innocent. Yes, they were pure. They did nothing to deserve them being killed to temporarily relieve the guilt of the people. It was just a foreshadowing cord that tied throughout the Old Testament and the New that said, one day, a sacrifice, pure enough, innocent enough, sinless enough, the Son of God himself would die and shed his blood for you in the promise that your sins will be forgiven. You could spend eternity with him. And every promise, and this is what people don't like us to preach. We're going to preach it anyway because I preach the full gospel here. And every promise that was given to the people of God from Adam, well, that's a lot, okay. And then goes on to who? Oh, there's Adam, then there's Noah, and then there's David, and there's Moses. Go back to all these promises are yes and amen. And we're tied to all of them because we just got adopted in by the blood of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, and every promise to him because he doesn't play favorite with his kids. You read the fine print, it's not so fine. It's big and bold in your Bible. Get the bigger print if you can't read it. Every promise that was promised to the family of God from generation to generation to generation was tied to us, the children of Abraham, the children of the covenant. People don't like us preaching that stuff, but it's true. Covenant love, covenant blood that covers us, covers our family like the Passover lamb, covers our family like the scarlet cord like Rahab. The blood of Jesus covers us. It changes how we pray. We stop stressing about how are you going to cover those bills. I don't know. I gave you wisdom number one. And he is wisdom. And when you've done all that you know to do and stand, what? He fights our battles. Oh, we should dig in. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for God bought you with a high price. Why? My son, do you hear him saying it? Why? Why blood? Why the blood of his son? It was the most precious thing he could offer. It was the most eternal thing he could offer. It was a one-time deal. It was a better deal. Anybody want a one-time deal? I love coupons. I'm a sucker for coupons. Give me a coupon. You know what they do now at BJ's? They go, you can use this coupon 5 times. You know how many diapers you can get with that coupon? Guess what? Better deal. Every time you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And when you call on his name in faith, he covers us. And he covers those we love when we pray in faith and we see it through. So don't turn the switch of faith off. Because we in our American culture have lost the honor and the power of our word, which is our bond. Hang out with people different than you from other cultures and notice how they keep their word. It might be a reminder of how we can do things better. Why? What is the blood covenant? Where did it come from? Blood covenant is a really big deal. It is never meant to be broken. It's not to be taken lightly. Unfortunately, we have translated it lightly. Covenant love, hesed, has been translated to loving kindness. So when you see the word loving kindness, go back, and the most of the time, it goes back to this word hesed, which means covenantal love, blood covenant. The love that is so big and so kind, it covers you and covers those that you love. Hebrews 10:29. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God, who have treated the blood of the covenant, which was made us holy, as if it were common or unholy. What's it saying? Hey, whoa. Hey, we Christians, he's talking to the people of God. And he says, hey, you guys that keep sinning and don't believe the word of God, don't even believe your own word, and you're just trampling on the blood of God, and he has given you the grace, his divine empowerment that sets you free from the power of sin. Let's not treat it so lightly. The reason why we treat it lightly is we don't understand it. We have lost our covenant language. We've lost the language. We've lost the culture of the word is your bond. It was sealed in the blood. Imagine the bond if you sacrificed your own child. That costs you everything. Do you think you would break your bond when it costs you everything? Okay, what is blood covenant? Blood covenant is a contract in which, ready for this? All debts, raise your hand if you have debt. Come on, let's be real. I hate the weight of debt. I hate sin debt that makes you feel bad for all the people you've hurt. Ready for this? We have debt, okay? So the covenantal bond, blood covenant, covered all your debts, your liabilities, and your assets. All your debts, all your liabilities, all your assets were shared by both parties. This is interesting. Kind of like marriage. So in this blood covenant, if I entered into a blood covenant with a friend, Amber, my friend on the back. I have two Amber friends in here, and one's downstairs taking care of my kid. But okay, we're going for Amber Salmon. Ready? We entered a blood covenant. We, you know, did the finger prick thing. You know, it's awkward. Okay? Get a bluey Band-Aid. We entered in a blood covenant, and all of my debts and all of my assets, Amber, who knows accounting, okay, she worked at a bank, they're all yours. That might be good or bad. And all of Amber's debts and assets, all of her resources, if my car breaks down, Amber goes, that's okay, I got a car. But you need that car. Yeah, but I'm in covenant with you, so the car is yours. Everything that she has is now mine, and everything that I have is now hers. This is a covenant signed in blood. This is blood covenant. We share houses. That means, you know, if I have, like, I don't know, termites and we got to, you know, get all that taken care of, guess what? My whole family's moving to Amber's house because she's my blood sister. Jason's like, oh, man, we should have thought about this. You know, Sherry's a lot. She's really loud. I talk a lot, too, especially in the morning. You know, I'm working on it. Okay. All right. This was meant to be a lifelong bond. It was not ever meant to be broken. And that's where the covenant of marriage, which we can talk about later, we and our culture have lost the sacredness of what that is. Lifelong blood covenant does not end, it is forever. There's so much I want to say. Hebrew word for covenant is berith, and it means this, to cut in reference to the flesh. It could be the flesh of an animal, it could be a flesh of a human, right? And it actually means, this word in the Hebrew means to cut until blood flows. That doesn't mean a little paper cut. Doesn't mean a little fingerprint. It means cutting blood, it means cutting deep until it flows. It's graphic, it's gruesome, it's unpleasant. It was meant to be unforgettable. It was meant to leave a scar that was unforgettable. In our modern culture, we think cultures that still hold to these practices or reference these practices today in different countries and cultures, we think, oh, they're savage. Oh, no, those are archaic. Oh, that's too gruesome. That's obsolete. It's not for today. And I think we have something to learn. And I want to share a story that's been very well documented that I think we have something to learn. It's not savage, it's not archaic, it's not obsolete. In fact, in the eyes of God, there's nothing farther from the truth. He cut a covenant with humanity, sealed in blood, that would eventually be totally fulfilled in his son, so that we could understand something we've lost in our civilized culture over hundreds of years, even 50 years, some might say, that everything that God owes and everything that God owns is ours. And everything that I owe, every debt, all the guilt, all the shame, all the pain, all the torment is now his. Everything that I owe, my very life is a living sacrifice. All that I am is his. All that I have is his. And most of us just have debt, and it's his. And all he has, all his resources, all his strength, all his love, all his peace, all his joy unspeakable and full of glory is ours if we receive it by faith in his word that was signed in blood of his son. So I want to talk about a story. Anybody have heard of Dr. David Livingston? Anybody heard of him? He's very famous. There's movies created about him back in the day. He was a hero back in that culture, okay, of the day. And he was in Africa as an explorer, as a doctor. He just wanted to have adventures with God. How cool is that? He just wanted to go on adventures with God. He got lost in the adventure with God. He was having such a great time, he kind of forgot to go back to the civilized culture that was so lame and boring and safe. So he went to Africa from 1940 to 1873. He was born Scottish, and he studied the word of God, and he felt that call. And in the 30 years that he was on the mission field in Africa, he had never heard of a blood covenant ever being broken. It was a very common yet still sacred practice, and that's what blood covenant, aka what we're doing today, communion, which is a symbol of it, is meant to be common. We're supposed to do it as often as we need to remember Jesus, and I need to remember Jesus every day. You don't need to do that, but if you need to, okay? It was common, yet it was sacred. It wasn't taken lightly. So he's off on an adventure with God, just experiencing and understanding, and he's seeing this wild bridge of blood covenant that just paves the way to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gets lost in the adventure. You ever been lost in the adventure that God has given you? Is it painful? Is it hard? Yeah. Is it wild? Yeah. Is it worth it? Yeah. So he gets lost out there. Not physically lost. He's just swept up in the assignment. And the rest of the world starts to wonder, where did our hero, Dr. David Livingston, where did he go? Where did he go? Where is he? He was very well known in the British culture. You know, he'd be the people flip through the paper at and find his article, find what he was up to. And they want to know how his adventures were going. So the New York Herald actually sent one of their own explorers, Captain Henry Stanley. He was an American explorer and a journalist. And they go, oh, he's down for an adventure. He's a rough, tough guy. And when you find out what his life was like out there, he was Guys, we need to get tougher. We were talking at the Marriage Grow Group that we're a culture that doesn't like to do hard things. That's why we're so bored and scrolling all the time, because we're looking for someone else's live adventure because artificial intelligence created it. Wasting our time. And God has called you to do hard things and adventure with him. So Captain Henry Stanley decided to take the assignment. And so he went to Africa, and he was looking for Dr. David Livingstone, who was missing in the adventure for 6 years. So, like most things that God calls us to do, it's hard. And actually, overwhelmingly so, because in his search, it turned treacherous, and he started out with 100 people in his explorer party, you know? And it started dwindling down to next to nothing because people were lost through disease. And also, when the going gets tough, people get going. And he was just abandoned. Anybody been abandoned on their adventure that they were called to do? And people said, oh yeah, I'm with you, I got your back. And we lost the power of our word because life got hard. Life got painful. And that's why we're supposed to do life with Jesus, because that's the adventure. So through desertion, through disease, it had dwindled. And his young African interpreter said this, hey, I strongly advise you, because he looked for wise counsel around him within the culture of that day. He said, I strongly advise you, he says, to find and enter into covenant with one of the most powerful warring chieftains he was a king in his land. We need to find one and enter into a blood covenant. It's your only hope. It's the only thing that's going to save you. You sacrificed everything. So when they found this very, very famous chieftain, he was almost 7 feet tall. He was a warrior. And he was old and he was wise. And he didn't take a covenant lightly. It's very interesting, the covenant practices. And I didn't have time, so we'll go into it later. What the Hebrews did in their covenant practices were not that far off than some of the others. They didn't drink blood. But blood covenant meant everything. So anyway, they found this chieftain, okay? And the interpreter said this. He said, the reason why you need to do this, he says, everything that the chieftain has will be yours if you need it. Everything that the chieftain has will be yours. He needs help. He needs some covenantal love. He needs some covenant. He needs some covering because everyone else has abandoned him because they didn't keep their word. He needs to find someone. In an ancient culture, not ancient, I would just say a different culture, that kept his word and understood that your word is your bond and everything that came with it. He had much to learn. So he started getting a little nervous when he found out the covenantal right with this particular tribe and this particular chief, it wasn't just cut blood and mingle blood that was a little bit more common. This particular chief goes, oh, we drink it too. What? And he went, it may be because you know too much. Okay, well, I don't know about that. He started to get a little shaky about it. And listen, the interpreter goes, no, seriously, everything that you need that the chief has will be yours as a resource if you enter into blood covenant. So he finally realizes, because, desperate times, desperate measures, right? And they go into the next process of negotiations between the two parties. Now, the wise chief, he wanted to know, what was the motive? What was Stanley's motive? Why are you doing this? You're trying to swindle me? He's a wise guy. He's wise. So he starts asking some questions, right? What was Stanley hoping to get out of this agreement? He just wanted safe passage to find the famous Dr. Livingstone, a good man, a missionary, right? All right, so then the chief starts asking about his resources. What is Stanley bringing to the table? And after he could verify that Stanley was a person that he could trust, that there would be some benefits offered in return, they proceeded with this covenant. It's very fascinating. Some things start to parallel with the Hebrew one, which we'll talk about later. They then exchange gifts as a seal of the covenant, right? So every time you looked at that gift, you knew I'm in covenant. Besides, like the scar wasn't enough, but there was a gift. There was an honoring. And at this point, Stanley thought, surely all the treasures that I brought with me, the things, and they brought things of great value to trade, like really fine cloth and weapons and just things that they had. It was very interesting, and I think God had this happen in the story because it preaches really well. There was a little, like, pure white goat, an innocent goat, that Dr. Stanley carried with him in all of his travels. It was his most treasured and valued possession. because he wrestled with illnesses, and he believed that the milk of the goat and that nourishment actually helped his health. And so when the chief goes, "That's what I would like as a seal, besides the blood, as a token, that's all I want." And he went, "Oh." And he paused, and I think it's good to pause, right? Because when we do communion, we are to pause and remember the preciousness, the value of what it was. And then he agreed. And as things were exchanged, then the chief, so he gave up this pure, innocent white goat to go with the chief, and the chief probably had milk on his cereal every day. I mean, that was great. You know, I don't know. It doesn't say. But he saw the value of it. And then Dr. Stanley was given a spear, and it was an almost 7-foot tall spear because the chief was almost 7 feet tall. And it was wrapped in copper wire. And he at first felt a little cheated because how's this spear going to help my health? You know, like, hey, you got the better end of the deal, right? He didn't realize the significance because the man didn't understand the culture. He didn't understand the concept of covenant. He didn't understand blood covenant. It had been lost to history. It had been lost to our civilized ways. He had something to learn. And he found out very quickly when he was on the road with this spear, probably grumbling and complaining like the Israelites do, how this is going to help me? He's not a good shot. Because when he would come into hostile territory, when he would encounter those from other tribes, they saw the spear. And not only did they not attack, because that spear was like a powerful scepter of a king. It represented the most powerful warring chief in that area. Some of them even bowed at the symbolism of what it meant. I think we Christians today lack a revelation of covenant. We've just lost it. We've lost it to time. We've lost it to history. We've lost it to culture. So this scepter of power, this spear, what it represented, changed Stanley's life forever. And he started to get a revelation of covenant because in that representation, everything that he needed, safe passage, anything he needed, the chief would provide. Ready for this? Even a fight to the death, and you didn't want to mess with that chief. There was a reason he was chief. He was 7 feet tall. He was a warrior. And when people saw that, they go, "Don't mess with that guy. Don't mess with Stanley. Stanley's like a very nerdy name." Like, you know, he got a t-shirt and goes, "I'm with him." You know, like for real, it was like the nerdy guy walking through the halls and he's like next to the 7-foot senior, you know, like the big football player. "Don't mess with me. You're messing with him." God has given us something even more symbolic and powerful. He gave us a blood covenant. He gave us the name and the power of Jesus Christ. And when we understand what we're carrying, we understand what faith in the name brings and the power and the authority that it carries. Stanley, as he walked on his way, just on a journey to find someone, having an adventure with God, he carried a spear that represented a blood covenant. He had a scar, he had a spear, and when people saw that, they trembled. They went, "That's a man that is walking not in the authority of this," what? Because he was sickly, he was a sickly guy. He's like this, you know, white-collar little journalist, whatever. They didn't see him, they saw the chief because they saw the spear and they saw the scar. And this is interesting. This happened very early on in his journey. This is one of the first covenants that he actually cut. Because later goes on to say in Stanley's journeys, he got a revelation of covenant because he cut 50 covenants. That means he had 50 scars. "I need all the protection I can get." And he put it in a place that everyone could see it because when he walked along and he saw the spear of the warring chief and he saw all these cuts, they go, "That's a guy we don't want to mess with. That's a guy that comes with an army of tribes." And we, the church, are in covenant with all these other churches that we like to talk bad about. And what we forgot are all the scars on our hands because we are one family. We are one nation. We are one tribe for anyone that calls on the name of Jesus and believes the Son of God died on the cross and rose again for our sins. And when we speak and we declare, "I'm with him, I'm with him, I'm with Jesus," guess what? We got a really big family and it's time to stop shooting your team, y'all. So when someone messes with one of us, they mess with all of us. And people stink. People hurt you. People are imperfect. So let's work through offense. And let's work through forgiveness, because we've been forgiven of everything, and God requires us to forgive others and get a revelation of covering covenantal love. And remember, when you mess with them, you mess with us. Culture of honor. Culture of our word. We need to get a revelation of the culture of the promises of God. So I want to end on this one thought. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. We need to get a revelation of our rights and privileges, what came under the blood covenant from Adam all the way up to the book of Revelation. What was the covenant of God? What were the promises of God that were given to his people that are on our team, that are in our family? And I've been adopted in. Anybody have a revelation of adoption? I mean, it's very legal. I mean, you go to the courtroom, you get a contract, you get a seal. This is my family. It doesn't matter if their blood's different than my blood. We're all the same blood. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Hey, church. The covenant promises that were promised throughout the ages, that were documented in the Bible, were to remind us of the covenant bond. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 and 17. The Lord God, and you can go back and read this, was speaking to Jehoshaphat. He was a king of a nation that messed up again. They forgot the word of God. They forgot their word and their promises to only to worship the one true God. They got in idolatry and they got out from under the umbrella. Umbrella, umbrella. Under my umbrella, umbrella, umbrella. Okay, they got out from under the umbrella. And they got surrounded by all this opposition, all the attacks. The enemy had come around and it was an impossible odd. And you know what? King Jehoshaphat went back and read the book of the covenant and called in the people that knew the stuff. And he went, oh, you know that covenant? We should probably get up under that umbrella. Let's repent and change our ways and get close to the one true God and call upon the covenant. They repented, changed their ways, got close to the Lord. They got under the umbrella. And because they understood, because they had to go back and study, and we all need to go back and study what that meant, this is what the Lord said to him. It says, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at the great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord will be with you. And they didn't even have to fight. And you know what they did? They showed up at church with a worship team here, and they all went up front and just started praising and worshiping, and by the time they got there, the enemy had turned on each other. Church, we've got to stop turning on each other. You want to see why we're not walking in victory? Because we're fighting our own team, and what we forgot is if we would worship with our own team, even if we're in different buildings, the battle belongs to the Lord. You know what Satan does? He knows this. He has a revelation of this. He goes, oh, I'll just get them to turn on each other. I'll get them to not keep their word. I'll get them to attack each other with the words, with the power of their word. And then they'll fight each other and just take each other out, when actually the word of God said under the blood covenant, under the umbrella, if you all gather together in praise and worship, even if we meet in different buildings, I'll cause the enemy to turn on each other and wipe out. And you get double for the trouble. I'm going to stop there. Let's stand up. Thank you, Heather. We sense of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. The battle belongs to the Lord because of the covenant blood, because of the covenant love. Let's just pray. Let's just close our eyes. If you would like to pray with me, we can repeat this. Jesus, I love you. My faith is in you. Thank you for your blood sacrifice. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking all my shame and all my guilt. Thank you for saving me for all eternity. I'll spend it with you. But Holy Spirit, put me in remembrance of all that Jesus did. The covenant sealed in his blood. And everything that bought for me, that I would walk in the promises of God, in the land of the living in this lifetime. Help me not be afraid. Help me take courage to go on adventures with you as you fight my battles. Amen. Amen. You are loved. If anyone would like prayer, you can come forward. I'll have about 5 grow group leaders or ministry directors up here. And Stacy, are you giving some directions for pot? Oh, Scott. Scott, are you giving some directions for potluck? If you come on up, I'll just give you a microphone. And hey, I want to say this. I never eat all my pesto pasta salad.